Blog Talk Radio.
Podcast. I'm your host, Don LaVoyer, being joined with some tremendous people tonight. You know, there's no better way to start the year 2020 than with the one and only Steve-O and the man, Scott Randolph. You know, it's a tremendous opportunity with us. But you know what? We got a secret guest in house, and that being Jason Mayhem Miller. So we're going to jump right into We're going to jump right into the show real quick, and then after me, I'm going to hand the mic off to Jason Mayhem Miller. First of all, my first question is for you, Scott. Scott, what's it like having the aspect that you perplex, you know, on stage and in life, being around somewhat of a living legend in Steve-O?
It's great, man. I just started opening for Steve, and he gave me the opportunity to do that, and it's been a great ride, man. You know, it's always go time. You never know what you're going to get yourself into, and we're pretty spontaneous, so it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, you know, I bet. You know, I'd love to be in your shoes, bro, because I look back at the creation of Jackass, and it was one of the most tremendous shows, other than Bully Beatdown, on TV. You know, Steve-O, what was it that led you down that path of Jackass? What was it that was already built, instilled in you that made you bring out those antics and have so much damn fun doing it, brother?
I don't know. I guess I'm an attention whore. That's about all there is to it.
I love it, man. Not, an attention whore.
It's not too much, yeah. A lot of neglect from my parents and alcoholism in the family. And,
hell yeah.
Drugs and alcohol.
Yeah, I was going to say, Steve-O, yo, it's Mayhem here. Hey, I was just going to ask, like, I mean, I'm pretty sure at the beginning of the Jackass, you were pretty, like, fucking bombed. And then, like, so, you know, because I know from my experience, just going ballistic, getting wasted doing crazy shit, I know it was a lot easier. I know later you got sober and, like, you know, how much do you think that, like, change your life, you know, in different ways?
I was getting sober. I don't know. I'm fortunate. I was able to hang on to all the crazy, you know,
yeah.
And just get rid of the stuff that wasn't helpful. And So now it's been coming up on 12 years of sobriety.
Hell yeah.
And I've spent that time largely focused on the things that I choose to be doing and very little distractions. And as a result, I've been very productive. And it says something I'm really grateful for, because I know a lot of people who have just had the years slipping through their fingers, man, and the years turn into decades. And I'm really glad that that's not my story, man. I've been kind of kicking butt, dude, and I'm stoked.
Yeah, I'm real stoked about like your activism, bro. Like this weird. Remember when you climbed up the tower? Like, tell us about that. Why the hell did you climb up that tower?
It was just like, I mean, the real reason why I climbed up, it was a crane. It was a 150-foot tall crane.
Yeah.
And we had just gotten into flying drones, actually, Scott Randolph, who's on the phone. And we neglected to mention that Scott Randolph and I have been essentially life partners for just about 6 years now. It was January of 2014 when I had just gotten out of sex addict rehab, and I was like, yo, dude, Scott was in the sex program as well, you know, we didn't even know each other, you know, very well, but I knew he was in the sex program, and I told him, dude, man, I got all these tour dates, and I just don't have a chance of not getting my dick sucked. Like, I need help not getting it. I was like, I asked him to help me not get my dick sucked by coming on tour with me as my cock blocker.
You
like
hired
official.
An official cock blocker, Steve O.
100%.
Hey, wait, time out. You guys met at Sex Anonymous Sleepaway Club right now?
Yeah.
Well, technically, we met through Scott's brother, Stephen Randolph, who's a comedian. And
okay.
And so we've got some history. We had gone surfing together, but I think. We knew of each other that we were, you know, in recovery for sexual addiction. And so Scott, he came on as my cock blocker. And he sold my merch, you know, he turned my merch operation on tour into, like, I mean, second to none on the comedy club circuit. There's nobody that sells merch the way we do. And now he's my tour manager, my co-producer. And as a function of co-producer, Scott, on his own initiative, learned how to fly a drone. And yeah. I don't mean just fly a drone. I mean, he is such a badass drone. But he literally, like, He blows my mind what you can do with the drone. And right when he first learned how to fly the drone, I was thinking, like, I was just looking up in the sky. Because to me, a drone shots, like, are cool. But for my purposes, they're boring as hell unless I'm somehow super high up in the air. So I was looking up in the air at just things like, what's going to be a cool drone shot that's going to put me up in the air? And I saw this crane, and I'm like, it would be rad to climb up that crane and get a drone shot of me up there. But that in and of itself, that doesn't really pay off. So I thought, all right, it's only really kind of half an idea. And then I thought, well, going up on that crane would probably get a lot of attention, so let me do it for, like, you know, a cause, for a reason. And I let that be the Blackfish movement, which is, you know, the anti-SeaWorld cause. And so I brought an inflatable killer whale up a 150-foot tall crane, and by the time I was done up there, there were like 80 firefighters and all kinds of
cops.
Yeah,
bro. Yeah, I was sitting in the jailhouse cheering you on during that incident. I think I was like, "Whoa, yeah!"
What was going on with you, man? Like, you did go off the deep end, huh?
Yeah, I'll say, bro. I'll say. Well, you know, there was an incident where I fought the cops, like, and, like, kind of won for a little bit. So it was, like, real bad. And they, like, charged me with all kinds of crazy, you know what I mean? Once you assault a peace officer, even if you're just trying to get away, they really bring the hammer down on you. And really the reality of it was, is that, you know, and through therapy and through recovery kind of things, that I've realized that I was just missing this, like, big piece of excitement from my life, because I had stopped fighting, I got injured, and was kind of, like, so bored that I was finding it in, like, the craziest ways, you know, drugs, liquor, women, whatever. And I just kept making bad choices, you know? And so I got to say, you're a big inspiration because, you know, most people don't even, you know, you're such a funny guy and, like, you're touring around and doing a bunch of, you know, big fun stuff that people don't realize that, oh, yo, you know, Steve-O has cleaned up his act. Well, for me, it was, like, different because I was just all the time looking for a fight. And, like, and when the cops came, I didn't mind, you know, even getting tased. It was just another exciting night for me. And you know, later I put it together that, dude, you gotta change your life, you know. And so now I'm taking steps in that direction. I feel a lot better. And like you were saying earlier, you know, when you focus on things without even, you know, with no distractions, you know, when you're not, you know, high or drunk or whatever, you get a lot more stuff done. And you know, like my life is going a lot better. Now, I don't want to be the guy that's always harping on people. Oh, yeah, be sober all the time, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Because I realize not a lot of, you know, a lot of people that is just like they don't go off the deep end like that, you know. But
sure.
For me, and I guess for you too, I don't want to speak for you, we kind of had, you know, we kind of had that problem where we went way too far for way too long, you know. And I remember your old video way back in the day, PCP Saved My Life. Bro, that was like, that was one of them. I know, I watched that back in the day. And that to me was like one of the most like strange, like instructional, like a strange, like bizarre biography, like an autobiography movie that was just so. It's like I knew you on a whole new level. It was like listening to an album by Steve-O. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I appreciate you always putting yourself out there like that, dude. Like really, like no matter what, you know. It's very, very interesting. Now, are you and Scott? You guys are on tour all the time, or what? Be like,
pretty
what
much,
kind of
man.
Business do you do?
We do. It's mostly comedy clubs and. It's certainly a comedy show. For me, it's, you know, I'm the headliner, and I got into doing stand-up comedy, just about 10 years now. I've been touring, six of which with Scott. And, you know, it's always been, like, storytelling about all the crazy. At first, it was all the groupie sex and sex addiction stuff. Then, I taped that comedy special for Showtime, and then did another show about all the crazy criminal record stuff, and made this multimedia comedy special, which I'm putting out on my own. And then this new tour is it's called the Bucket List Tour, and I did all these crazy new stunts. And so I tell the stories about them, and then I screen the footage. And I did some heavy stuff for this tour, man. I did some heavy stuff.
Give us a little preview. Give us a little preview. What kind of stuff did you do?
There was the vasectomy Olympics. I got myself.
Bro, but yo, I just turtle headed right now when you said that out loud. What the fuck is that, bro? I'm now reclassified as a female when you said that. Jesus.
Yeah, I got myself a vasectomy, and I did all these stunts right afterwards. I jacked off and blew a load while falling out of an airplane, skydiving for my first time.
Bro, I think you need to go back to sex addiction class. That shit didn't take.
Yeah.
Wait,
that
you
was actually.
You busted a nut at 10,000 feet, Steve-O?
Yeah, simultaneously as I fell out of an airplane.
I don't know how you held your phone on YouPorn for that long.
Yeah,
feels like a long drop.
Yeah, and then I did another one where I got general anesthesia drugs given to me through an IV while I was riding a bicycle.
You're a madman, Steve-O. I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Well, that sounds
all
like
right.
A
let me
special.
Jump in here for just a minute, man. You know, because I got. got to keep the show going. Mayhem, you're going to have plenty of time, brother.
Come on.
I just want to jump on Scott for a minute. So when you hand out your business cards, bro, does this say personal cock blocker for Steve-O, or do you open your shows that way, man? Or is it something that you could add to the show, say, I'm the cock blocker for Steve-O?
Yeah,
a lot of people,
a lot of people knew me as the cock blocker, and then, you know, as we started, I knew I wasn't the cock blocker anymore when I got a text message from Steve where he went 431 days without blowing a load, and he sent me the picture of the load all over his chest.
Holy shit. Before we go any further, I got a caller. I told one caller I'd let to tonight's show. If it gets irate, I'll go ahead and disconnect the caller. And here we go. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello.
Caller, you're on the air. Are you there?
Idiot! Talk on the phone!
Don't be scared, homie.
Hello?
Brilliant. This is just smash up, fucking totally professional show. We're really killing it today. Good job,
hey,
Don.
I hung up on him, bro. Don't go there on me, homie.
Oh, my bad.
Hey, I'm trying to give the man some recognition from his fans, you know, so I promised I would take one call. It didn't go through.
Well, dude, you
passes.
Got the biggest Steve-O fan right here. Mayhem Miller is the biggest Steve-O fan. I can ask this guy question after question. And Scott, look, you're a great cock blocker. We'll get to you a little bit more. But Steve-O.
Well, go ahead, take the mic, man.
Hey, well, just a moment. Because I want to know, all right, what's the number one percentage-wise you would say that people go, you know, they come up to you and go, oh, hey, Steve-O, do you remember when you XYZ? What is that XYZ? What's the number one thing, like, people remember and, like, the stunt you did? Or
I don't know. I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but there's been quite a bunch of
I know. That's what I'm
stuff.
Saying. There's been so many. But what?
You know what I get? Honestly, what I get probably more than anything. And I interact with a lot of people. I really, after every one of these shows on tour, after every show, I do a meet and greet with the entire audience. So I'm interacting with more people than most, you know. I take a photo with every audience member. And so during all these meet and greets, the one thing that I get the most, believe it or not, is people saying, dude, is there any way I could get you to kick me in the nuts? And I mean, it's pretty unbelievable how often. And I have zero doubt in my mind that I have been asked by more dudes to kick them in the nuts than anybody in the history of mankind. And on top of that, I have kicked more people in the nuts than anybody in the history of mankind. I think those two records I have.
If you had to estimate, how many? You think 100?
How many?
500?
I'm certainly over 100.
Damn.
Yeah.
That is
say,
over
say,
200 nuts kicked. Write that one down.
I
did the math.
I would say so. I mean, it used to be every night. I would do on my old tour, and it was every night. I would say, "Who wants to get kicked in the nuts at my shows?" And dude, people would be jumping up and down in the crowd, like, you know, waving their arms, pointing at themselves, like it was insane. I'd say, "Who wants to drink a cup full of my piss?" And people would be fighting to get on stage to drink my piss.
Bro, that's
wild.
Nasty.
It was wild times, man. Very wild.
Yeah, so Scott, hey, where do you fit in besides being the cock blocker? I'm sure, you know, you're a funny comedian. You open up the shows for him, right? So
yeah.
What are your sets about?
My sets are about how I met Steve. I try to keep it to that just because, you know, you don't want a person coming up there and talking about their grandma on stage before they get into a Steve-O show. So it's like, you know, how I met Steve and just kind of like, you know, our relationship and just different things on sex addiction. And then, and I just do, you know, a quick 5-6 minutes off the top, and then I introduce Steve and then the show gets started.
Damn. And how long is the show? Like an hour or so? Like, it seems like a wild night.
Hour and 25.
An hour and 25 minutes.
Yeah, I tell people when I'm up there, I say, you know, I swear to God, you're going to see some things that you've never seen before in your entire life. And they think I'm joking. And we get dudes passing out every weekend. We get people coming in the meet and greet line with throw up on their shirt. Like, it's on.
Oh, yeah. Brutal. It sounds like a slave show. Jesus.
Bro, he like wires his nuts to his legs.
Are you doing that? You're still doing the staple trick. Oh my God, it was madman.
No, I did that on my second comedy special. I had a whole bit about ball stapling, but the vasectomy really takes the cake.
Wait, why did you get a vasectomy? I thought you're not having sex. So you're going to not have sex and have a vasectomy? I don't get it.
No, you try not to get your
blanket pregnant?
I the sex addiction thing was about learning how to have a healthy relationship. Because as I approached 40 years old, I just thought, man, like trying to hump a ton of chicks and all this stress and distraction and guilt and everything that comes with it. It's just not how I want to live. And I feel like, you know, if I'm going to be happy for the rest of my life, I need to learn how to have a healthy relationship. And so I started off by trying to just not hook up with random chicks, and I just couldn't, you know. And so that was how I got into the sex addiction stuff. And now all these years later, I've found I found the one, man. I'm engaged to be married, and you know, I got my girl. We don't want to have kids, and so I got the vasectomy, and now I don't. You know, I can hump and dump all the time. It's great.
Oh wow, I'm interested. I mean, that's interesting. You guys don't, like never have kids, so she's like, she was cool with that vasectomy thing. She's totally cool with it.
Oh, yeah. She 100% loves it. She thanks me for it all the time.
All right.
Pump and dump
open up
all year.
Pump and dump 2020. Steve-O for president.
Yeah, right? Steve-O for president.
That's a good campaign slogan.
Might as well.
You know, I'm kind of loving the way things are going. You know, we'll get to the other people on the line in a moment. Mayhem may get pissed off at me or whatever it is going to be, but I got another call, so take
you know,
it.
Look, Don, you know by now that I like idle at like 95. Like I can't live life unless I'm just fucking cranked up pretty high. So, you know, just bear that in mind for the whole show. Top of that, got Steve on, so I'm just amped right now. I'm amped.
I feel you, bro. We're going to go ahead and take a call.
Okay.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hello?
You're on the air with Steve-O and Mayhem Monkeys. How can I help you?
Hi, Mayhem, big fan. Steve-O, big fan also. Love the Bully Beatdown.
God bless you.
My question is, are you guys ever going to do anything to get some new seasons out or even put that old content on Hulu or something?
Oh, that's the weirdest question. Go ahead.
Paramount Pictures has now announced that Jackass 4 is going into production. So there's a new movie in the works, and it's still very early stages. But, it's been greenlit by Paramount, which is something else.
Hey, about that, are you gonna like, write bits for that? For instance, on Jackass 3, like, did you come up with some of the stunts, or like how does that work? Cool.
Yeah, for sure. Like, we generally write if the bit we do, we either write our own bits or whoever did write the bits gives permission to the person who wrote them, which I've always understood that to be the the protocol.
I want to add one thing. Mayhem has got to kick somebody in the nuts on Jackass 4.
No, I don't want to try to take Steve-O's nut kicking record.
It's all good, man. It's all good.
I mean, that's punched by Butterbean.
Yeah, somebody called Guinness.
Caller, do you have any more questions before we let you go?
Have an awesome, happy New Year. That's not in the form of a question, but that's about
God
it.
God bless you, brother.
Right on.
God bless you, brother.
Cool, man.
You have a good night.
Oh, yeah. I'm a little interested, you know, as I thought about doing this this interview today, you know, I was just kind of picturing what it might be like. And I was really, you know, because I had heard some stuff about Mayhem, you know, just that you were fucking out of control and all this stuff with the cops. And I wasn't sure how open about that you would be, or if it would be even like appropriate to ask about it or anything, but I wasn't sure how you would approach that. But given that you brought it up on your own, you know, that you like that you mentioned it, like I'm a little bit interested. Like it's been a few years since the thing you said when I was on the crane. You were in jail. How long were you in jail for?
So like on and off for like 3 years, like basically, like I mean, I did a stretch for like a year. I did another stretch for like a half a year for the cop thing. They kept me down for a year, like it was like real, and it was weird because like I had those like I wish I could say there was like one like come to Jesus moment of like, oh my God, I gotta stop, but it was like a bunch of little ones like, well, damn, every time that I come to jail, I'm drunk. You know, like, I put
was it,
I
was
put
it
that
just
together.
Alcohol? It seems
yeah,
like,
well,
I remember, because I followed you on Twitter as well. Yeah. I think we follow each other on Twitter for many, many years now. And I just remember seeing some stuff on Twitter from you where I was like, yo, dude, this dude's not okay. And it didn't seem like it didn't seem like alcohol. I mean, I don't know how open. I don't know how
I'm open about it. Prescriptions, all that, bro. Like I was taking one pill to go up. I was taking another pill to go down. I was taking another one to go sideways. I was smoking a little bit of Joe Rogan. I was eating a little bit of that Rush Limbaugh. You know what I'm saying? I was everywhere, bro. I was pretty
much. What are the Rush Limbaughs? Okay, that's right.
Yeah, so, like, any kind of, like...
Was there any meth in the picture?
No, it was the over-the-counter one. So, you know, I was... So it was, like, a weird lifestyle choice. Like, and my rationale, the crazy... And this is, like, pretty much the most I've ever opened up about it on air. I'll just say that to you, Steve-O.
I
appreciate that. I appreciate it because I want people to know, and I want people to, like, protect themselves from this. In my mind, I never was doing drugs because the doctor was giving it to me because these were prescriptions, and then that means that they're safe. And that's not true. That's, like, exact opposite, and I fell into the trap that millions of people are doing now, and now it's all over the news, and now it's like a kind of a normal thing, like, oh, yeah, you know, you can't, because I didn't like how pain pills made me feel, right? So I would take a pill to counteract that so I wasn't all sluggish. So, okay, that'll work, right? No, it doesn't work. It just makes you crazier, and shit gets crazier and crazier. And then eventually you're doing a standoff against the cops because you're so paranoid that everybody's out to get you. That, you know, you actually make it happen. And,
When did your fighting career end?
Man, a million years ago, it feels like now. But, like, 2012, I did another fight after, but it wasn't, you know, wasn't much behind it because I wasn't really in it. You know, I was more
What weight division? What weight division were you in?
I fought 185 most of my career, so middleweight.
Okay, so that's middleweight, yeah. All right, man. So you're a big boy, man. I was thinking that you were, more lightweight. I've become a real, real diehard fan of UFC, man. Scott laughs at me because when we finish these nights on tour, I'll get back to the hotel at 2 a.m. and then I'll start watching the card from that night, you know, because we're always doing shows on Saturdays, so I can never watch the fights live.
Because I'm putting together a fight show of my own, bro, and I would love to have you come out. I'll throw it on a Thursday.
What kind of fight show are you talking about?
Well, I'm talking experimental mixed martial arts, not exactly like UFC. It's going to be some different types of matches, Muay Thai, Jiu-Jitsu, and there's also going to be some weird stuff thrown in there that's not unlike anything as anybody's ever seen. So I'm putting it together now as like a real crazy response. Everybody I talk, every meeting I have about it keeps getting better and better. So I hopefully by summer it'll be hammered out.
Yeah, that'll be tremendous.
You were in the UFC?
Yeah.
In 2012. Yeah, I wasn't even really like paying any attention to it at that, you know.
When I met you, there was like a weird. It was weird because you were doing a show somewhere and I came out and hung out with you or something. I barely remember really because I'm, obliterated.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, but I remember that you didn't seem responsive. It's cool to see that you're getting into martial arts now because, I think there's going to be a renaissance.
Oh my God! Yeah, I love it. And if there was any disrespect, man, I'm mortified.
No.
But I don't know what year it was, but I remember having met you and I consider you a bro. I think we were in touch about. I had invited you to come to my show in Irvine. I feel like.
Yep.
Way back
yep.
in 2010.
Yeah, it was a blast.
But yeah, I mean, whatever it is, man, it's rad. It's rad to see, to see out of that fucking funk it seems like you were in, dude. And when you,
me too,
when, when you say that, when you say that you're, you mentioned recovery, like,
yeah.
Is that something that you did, I don't want to, get into any secret clubs.
I'm picking up what you're putting down. But, I've been through a program, like it's strange, it's weird that we're we're going into this direction. I like it because
I'm a recovery guy, man. So I can't help but I can't.
No.
So
do you
have a sobriety date and stuff?
Yeah. October 19th last year. No, a year
right.
before last, I guess it is now 2020, baby.
Yeah, okay.
So I've been
man.
Sober for a long time, and it's weird, clear-headed, clear-headed is like something that I'm not used to, It's like I've been for a year all cleaned up, and it's like a whole, over a year now. So it's like a whole different lifestyle. Yeah, it feels good. It feels
real
good.
How old are you now?
I'm, I just turned 39, baby.
39? Okay, good, man.
He's a fucking puppy.
Yeah.
Keep me out of shit, dude.
I'm 44.
I'm 45, man. It's nuts. But yeah, dude, congrats for that, man. Like, it's such a blessing, dude, to have this thing. And, I'm so fortunate. And I think it's safe to say as well that we can be really grateful that things got so bad, so bad.
Yeah.
Like, again, I saw the stuff that you were putting on Twitter. And I know where I was at. And, honestly, if things didn't get so drastically bad, then we wouldn't have ever done anything about it. And we'd be like all these other guys with all the years just slipping through their fingers,
I know. Yeah, that's the saddest thing is, instead of exploding, just slowly drowning. I see that.
Yeah.
And not to pass judgment on anybody. But, yeah, that's a bummer.
Yeah. So now I'm super curious about this. When you were in jail for all this time, Scott, you got to get back in the car, man.
That is killing us on the show.
Scott, you got to get back in the car,
because it's killing the audio.
Yeah, there we go. All right, much better. Much better. So now when you were in jail for all this time, Mayhem, did they have you in any kind of PC, which is protective custody?
No, they didn't have me PC. That's the funny thing, is that I might have been better off in PC. They had me in high security, like because I had a violent offense against the officers. They put me with the top level murderers. Like, all my friends, quote unquote, were like dudes who like shot a bunch of people, or dudes, like one guy cut a dude's dick off in the desert and left it out there. Like, that was my name. Like, guy who shot his wife. Like, I got to like interact. Like, I always kept like imagining I was like a National Geographic photographer that lost his fucking camera. Like, I was just, like, in there with the animals, like, you know, like, observing them. And it was weird because, you know, you got nothing to do all day. You just have to, like, be friends with a dude who shot his dad in the face. You know what I mean? It's like, what the fuck? Like, this
so
is
when,
my life?
When,
like,
so when you're in maximum security with all these murderers, like, is it general population, or do they keep you guys, like, you know,
yeah, total step,
down,
actually. So. Yeah, total step. So, like, a 23-hour-a-day lockdown, 1 hour to use the phone and use the damn television, and you know what I mean? It was like, yeah, it was a torture chamber, dude. It was basically solitary life.
So did you get in any scraps in jail? And now, if it's over a year, it's considered prison, right? And if it's under a year, it's county jail. So you were in a mix of both, I take it, huh?
Yeah, it's something like that, yeah. They call it Pelican Pete, yeah. So it's like security, like high security kind of place. Like, it was a really, I don't know. At this point, I can, like, joke and laugh about it. But, like,
sure.
I was real, I didn't even realize that I was, like, traumatized from that until, like, the therapist told me, like, well, yeah, you know, you're probably traumatized from that. I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess you're right, yeah. Because I was, like, having severe anxiety. Like, public places would make me, like, kind of, you know what I mean? Like,
after you got out?
Yes, yes. I would always be looking over my shoulder, always be, like, real, like, anxious. And I couldn't explain why. You know, there's no reason to be nervous. I couldn't talk to people correctly. Like, I would just yell. Like, I was just yelling in people's face, like, on accident, you know? Like, it was different, you know? It was like, that's one of the things I think that they should fix about. They should have some type of reform because, you know, every time that I went in there, I came out a little more crazy. And this is the first time.
I believe
because,
it.
Yeah, because I came out and addressed the issues, the underlying issues that were causing me all these problems and causing me to fuck my life up. You know, it was the first time, you know, once I got help for my issues, then I could change my life. But before that, I just kept coming out and I, like, wanted to drink more. And I wanted to, like, you know what I mean? I wanted to try to have as much fun as I could because, they're going to lock me up again anyway. And I think that that's, like, a problem that – I think that's something that our system feeds into. You know, like, that's something that it does, you know, unintended consequences. They think that they could,
I wouldn't be surprised if it's actually pretty deliberate, man. It's such an industry, you know, it's such an industry, man. They love keeping people locked up. They love that recidivism. But, you hear a lot about, like, prison especially, but even county jail, about how, like, there's all kinds of drugs in there. Like, were you able to get loaded while you were locked up?
Yeah, I could if I wanted. Yeah, I definitely could. There was a highway right through people's assholes that they would, like, get locked up on purpose. You know what I mean? I mean,
right.
I'm a self... a self-respecting drug head. I don't fucking I ain't doing drugs that came out of someone's ass. So, you know, I
assholes
jail
are
wine.
Fine with me.
That's the special thing, dude.
Hey, you know, I kind of got to interject
yeah, jump
for
in,
a second.
Jump
if
in.
You're listening on iHeartRadio or Univision, please download this episode. The more downloads we get, the more airtime we get played in succession next week. You know, on the show with us tonight is Steve O and Scott Randolph and Jason Mayhem Miller, Randy Marshall and Crazy Stein. With that being said, I'm going to jump. We got one more caller. I'm going to take the last call of the evening, and this is an affiliation of Mayhem Miller himself. So I'll go ahead and take this call, and then we'll stop the calls for the evening, and we'll jump back on the interview.
This better be good.
Hey, I hope so. He's one of Mayhem's cronies. You're on the air with Jason Mayhem Miller's Muggy Cold Radio.
Steve, he recognizes this voice. It's been a while.
Who do we got?
You recognize him, man?
Who
is
this?
Donald Trump Jr.?
I renounce
Donald
my
Trump
throne
Jr.?
And we'll get off.
Caller, do you have a question?
Do you have a question, or are you just going to stand here and play riddles all day?
Yeah.
It's Pitbull P-Dub, brother. What's up?
Ha-ha, P-Dub. Ha-ha. Well, let me tell you, goodness. Hey, bud, how are you doing? Steve, let me introduce you to this madman. This guy's Pitbull P-Dub. He's one of, like, the biggest supporters I've ever had. You know, all these dudes on the show today are huge supporters. This guy, I don't know, he's always had my back since day one. So it's great to have you on here. Bro, come on, ask Steve a question. You know everything about me.
Right on, Ron. It's good to hear from you. Steve, I just first got to say, my friends and I are super jealous but we're still envious, of course, huge fans now. But back in the day, in the late 90s, we were doing jackass stunts and random acts of being idiots on purpose, public, before the show was even aired. We just hate ourselves because we never filmed anything we did, you know? And we were like, you know, what's the internet? Nobody's going to ever use the internet for these things. You know, that's what people don't use the internet for. Why record it? So credit to that, and fucking love it.
Credit for recording yourself being a jackass. Hell yeah.
Yeah. We used to go to random parking lots and use shopping carts, and we'd dress them up as horses, and we'd have, like, old medieval jousting contests with broomsticks.
Riveting. Do you have a question for him?
Yeah, I was just going to say, since you're starting to get into martial arts and loving it, is that what made you add to the bucket list of getting choked out by Chuck Liddell?
I don't know if that was as much a bucket list thing. I got choked out a lot over the years.
Really?
Who
was choking you out, Steve-O?
My buddy Ryan Dunn, he choked me out 6 times in one day.
Rest in peace.
And, the UFC fighter Tim Kennedy choked me out.
Oh, shit.
I got choked out by Gene LaBelle, choked out the entire cast of Jackass in 2002.
That never made it to the air, huh?
Yeah.
I know, he just went down the line, too. We all lined up, and he just went boom. And, like, how fast he did it was insane. He laid everybody down one by one, and they determined that the footage was dark.
Bro, that sounds pretty dark.
Right.
Yeah. So,
well,
so now, Mayhem,
you're a
very recognizable guy, Mayhem. You had to have gotten recognized in prison a lot.
All the time, yeah.
So, like, and there had to be, like, not like a bounty on your head, but you had to have people who were just itching to fight with you to say that they fought you. Please tell me you had some scraps in prison.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny that you say that, because the only people that I fought with in there is the damn guards. And
once
I did that, and like showed off that, like, and a bunch of people saw it, then it became like legend. So like it was a weird thing where I had the respect of everybody, you know, so I didn't even have to play that card. Like I kind of was untouchable. And on top of that, I would coach the guys inside their cells. I would coach everybody, so I'd have everybody shadow boxing in unison. And so it like I turned into like Coach Mayhem on the inside, where I was just like because I had like a skill that they wanted, it like stopped me from having any trouble. You know, that's the craziest thing to happen. Where and the funny part about the cops thing was I didn't punch them. I used like judo skills, like taking them down and escaping them, and that was like the big deal. Like everybody was like real pumped about the fact that I had like, you know, used martial arts against four cops. So it was like after that, it was like I was untouchable. So God bless them. You know, I never got stabbed. There was one incident where a dude was carrying around a shank, but he got busted with it, and I was thinking, wait a minute, that guy didn't really like me, so that might have been for me. You know, so maybe I dodged the bullet right there, or dodged the shank, I should say. So I really lucked out on that one. They busted him with that, and they moved him to another sector after that. So yeah, I'm sorry to disappoint. There was no Chuck Norris in prison kind of situation with the you know what I mean? Not that I wasn't ready all the time. Like I worked out every day. I like made sure to like, you know, keep the temple strong, because I was very concerned about the day where they might jump on me. Yeah.
Most definitely. Hey, caller, you got any more questions? Go ahead and move on with the show. If you got any more questions, floor is yours.
No, that's cool, Don. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it, guys. Mayhem, love you, brother. What, Devo?
Love you too,
keep
man.
On doing what you do.
All right. Hey, thanks.
Right on, dude.
Talk to you later, Patrick.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm gonna tell you guys what here. I need to start. I'm in the car, and I'm going to need to start driving to get to my secret club. I've got my regular home group Wednesday nights. So I'm just saying that as I drive, I'm likely to drop the signal. So, you know, I'm just giving a heads up that I might be dropping out. And if that happens, I'm just going to keep driving, and we'll pick it up some other time.
Hey, it sounds good, Steve-O. You know, before that even happens, January 7th is my 500th episode on the MMA side. I'm interviewing some of the top legends of the sport and champions of the sport. I'd be honored if you came on and co-hosted, you know, at least part of the show with me. Keep it in mind and keep it in thought. I'd love to have you on, you know, back on as a mutual host with Dan Severn, Kung Lee, and several aspects of the sport, if you're down with it, brother.
You said what, January 7th?
It's a Tuesday.
It's a Tuesday. Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm driving right now. I can't really see what's on my
calendar. Yeah, I'll get with you, brother. I'm going to toss the mic back to Mayhem or Randy or whoever wants to pick up and ask you another question before you kind of dip out here. Mayhem.
No, I'm just going to tell you, excuse me, I was about to hang up in your face right now because it's getting late. Tim Kennedy, I beat up Tim Kennedy before. I'm glad he's a damn gentleman. I love that guy. I'm glad he choked you out.
I like him a lot, man.
If anybody's gonna choke you out, that's a good. Yeah, hell yeah, he's a good guy. American hero.
Yeah,
that guy.
He choked me out. When he choked out, he lifted me up in the air with a rear naked choke where my feet are dangling. And because I told him to, from up in the air once I was out, dude dropped me. Like straight up
God.
Dropped me. My head bounced off that stage, dude.
Oh, brutal.
He got a lot of hate. He got a lot of hate for that. But he was just doing what I asked him to.
Hey, Steve, do you train, bro?
I don't, man. You know,
Come on,
I like to surf.
I want to train, man. I'd be glad to coach you a little bit, man. It would be cool for you to know some stuff, you know?
You know, when Justin Bieber called out Tom Cruise, I went and met up with Dana White. I drove to Vegas. And I tried to challenge Justin Bieber.
I got funny on Steve-O for that one. I'm in your corner for that one, bud. I think everybody is.
Dana White didn't want any part in that.
Well, you know what?
I bet he did.
You know what? I'll book that fight. Right? If we can make, if I can get Bieber to sign the contract, you're in.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough one. Dana White was concerned about what athletic commission would sanction that. He said we might have to do it in Alabama or something.
Now, Utah, we'll do it out in Utah. We'll make it happen.
Most definitely. That'd be righteous. You know, I'm going to pass the mic to Randy Marshall since he hasn't been able to ask a question to you, Steve.
Randy.
In all fairness. Randy, jump on the stage, bro.
Well, gentlemen,
I guess my main question that I'm wondering is there anything out of all the stunts you've ever done, is there anything that you regretted, like right after you were done, you're just like, holy fuck, why did I even try that?
There's a couple that come to mind, but in every case, it was, the injury made it notable. You know, like the worse it goes, kind of the better the footage, you know.
I'm not going to agree with that.
I've had some pretty horrific injuries, and I consider them notches in my belt, you know.
Like the one with the jet fuel?
Yeah, big time.
that one was pretty bad.
Dude, that's at the top of the list. It was rocket engine fuel. I laid down in a bed of rocket engine fuel.
Oh God.
And my buddies lit that.
Brutal.
Crazy as hell. That's totally brutal. You know,
third degree burn.
Yeah, I had skin grafts on 15% of my body.
God damn. I got to Google that one. That's a nightmare, bro. All right, well, we appreciate you giving your body for this science. Like, damn, dude.
Right? Oh, you know, Steve, well, I got a question I want to ask you because you created an aspect of life that nobody had ever seen before you and, you know, Dunn and Bam Margera and all those aspects that came up at the same time you did in the group that you correlated yourself with. You know, what does it mean now for you to look back and know that you created an aspect of life that is truly going to stay there forever, like Mayhem did with, you know, Bully Beatdowns? He created an aspect that can never be taken away. So what does that feel like for Steve-O to create an aspect of life that nobody can ever take from you, brother?
I'd say, first off, thank you for the kind words and recognition. And, you know, like, to the extent that what my buddies and I have done has had some cultural significance, I'm super grateful, man. You know, super grateful. Like, as a little kid, I was an attention whore. All I ever wanted was to be noticed, to be remembered. And to the extent that I accomplished that, I'm really, really stoked.
Yeah, well, we're grateful for you, brother, because you truly have instilled an aspect of life like Mayhem has that can't be duplicated, you know, and I appreciate that about you in life. I'm going to pass the mic to Crazy Stein, let him ask you a question, then I'll jump back on. Crazy Stein, the floor is yours, brother.
All right, Steve-O, like, with the next Jackass coming out, and you working with Paramount, how's it going to be different with Gunn not there?
I mean, it's certainly going to be kind of sad. I know that they've got, like, they've enlisted a handful of new guys. I mean, there's going to be a lot of things that are different. So, yeah, there's no Don, and, like, we're a lot older, and, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure, you know, how else to say that. But I think that to the extent that it's sad that Don won't be there, I think that the approach to take to it is to, you know, really do it in a way that would make him proud, you know, to honor him by really putting it down and making magic happen. You know, that's how I feel about it.
Right on. You know, I'm going to pass the mic back to Mayhem because, you know, Mayhem knows you. He's a huge fan of yours. Mayhem, I know you got a top five bucket list question you want to ask Steve-O, brother, so the floor is yours.
Bruh, I don't got no questions left. This guy is just amazing. Like, I'm so glad. I was really concerned that this show was just going to be a damn toilet squeegee, and instead it's a damn rocket ship. And I got to go look up the damn rocket fuel incident because, I mean, I can't believe I didn't even see that.
You know, hey, wait, hold up, Steve-O. Hold up, Steve-O. How are you going to call my show a squeegee when you did a show with the schmo? Man, you know,
listen,
yo, bro, come on now.
Got me. No, I was afraid.
Got you there, bro.
Look, I gotta be afraid when you said that we're gonna have 15 guys on the show, and I thought you guys did a great job. Everybody like hung back and picked their spots, okay? And I was afraid that it might be a train wreck, and instead it was like the bullet train in Japan. It was just smooth sailing. And that's on you, Don. Way to go. You really nailed it. I was wrong, and I'm man enough to admit that I was wrong. All right?
Hey, I'm representing you, brother. I'm going to do a show right, you know?
Hell yeah.
We've got to keep the Mayhem Miller Monkey Cult and Mayhem Miller industry name strong, man. You know, Steve-O,
I appreciate
you truly – yo, you gotta. I'm used to you now, Mayhem. You already tried to clown on me once on my live feed, and I already know the direction that you are, brother. You know, Steve-O. You know, with the summation of the movie coming out and all the shows that you're doing, you know, what does it mean to you to still see your career climbing? You're still growing. You're still out there. What does it mean for you to still have the appreciation of the country and the respect of the people that have been following you for this many years?
I mean, it's a great question, dude. The fact that I'm still getting away with it, you know, 20 years in, like, I'm beside myself, man. I can't even believe it. It's a lot to be grateful for, man.
Truly is. It truly is. You know, I've been in the industry shooting fights for 24 years, radio for 17, going on 17 now, and each and every day is a blessing. And yeah, I'm sure that's the way it is with you in your life. You know, Scott, I want to ask you one more question before I turn it back over to the rest of the people. You know, correlating your life into the life of Steve-O, how much fun or how much animosity is
it? No, there's no animosity. You never know what's going to happen on a day-to-day basis because Steve can just pick up the phone one day and like, look, I have this idea. We're going to need 4,000 dildos, 3,000 pounds of lube, and I need you to get a mini pool ASAP. And you literally have no idea what's going to happen. And I love that kind of shit, you know? And like, when I first started working with Steve, I knew it was on because we were in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and we went to this underground cave or something like that, and like we went on this tour, and then all of a sudden, like Steve's like, "Dude, let's go, you know, down here." And then we were on the tour, and we just slowly slipped out and started running away with cameras in our hand to go film this bit like deep inside, and he puts on like a BDSM mask and like all these changes and speedos. And I was like, oh, dude, this guy is fucking real deal classic, dude. This is great. And, like, ever since then, it's just been a fucking amazing ride. So I love it.
You know, I got to dig it. You know, first and foremost, I want to thank both of you for truly coming on the show. I would love to do a two-hour special in the future when you guys have more time. You know, like I told Steve-O, the conception of what he brought to all of us and it still lives in our heart, just like Bully Beat Down. So it's a tremendous aspect of life. You know, I'm the Barbara Walters of the show. Mayhem may give me shit for it, but
you're gonna make me cry.
Oh yeah, I'll make you cry, bitch. But you know, I like to show the side that most people don't get to see on television. They don't get to see on the internet. You know, I like to bring out a side that truly touches the guest that's on my show. Now, you had mentioned that coming up early, life wasn't the greatest aspect. What was it that instilled change in you, brother?
Who's that question for?
For you, Steve-O.
I mean, if you're asking me what got me sober, I mean, it's just so well documented. Like, I had
What I was asking, brother, what early in your life when you were a young tyke, you know, a young man, what was it that instilled this aspect into you? What was it that made you decide to bring all this craziness out?
I mean, that was the first thing I said was, it's an attention whore. I don't know that there's much special. I just have a really overdeveloped need for attention, and that's about it. You know, I had a privileged upbringing. I had a successful dad. I had an alcoholic mom. And, you know, I had a lot of lack of supervision. And I think that kind of was the mix.
I feel you there. Mayhem, how do you feel you correlate with Steve-O in that aspect?
Yeah, I was raised by daycare and television, so that's about the same thing. The attention whore was great in me. I knew he needed to be the center of attention. So, yeah, it was like one of those same things. You know, if you're a little kid out there, you know, wondering what you're going to do with your life and you got a penchant for jumping in front of everybody, well, I'd say follow a similar path that we did because, you know, it was beneficial. Yeah, well, yeah, we both walked the nightmare on earth before, but at the same time, too, I wouldn't trade it for anything, you know what I mean? It's on to the next level for me.
Most definitely.
Yeah. Well, right
you
on,
know,
man.
Steve,
yeah, Mayhem, dude, I want to tell you again, dude, like, it's a big deal for me when I asked you about a sobriety date, and you said October 19th. That got me really stoked for you, dude, because I know
Thanks, man. I know
that you were in trouble, and I wasn't sure where you were at, man, so...
Yeah.
I want to tell you, congrats, man. I'm real happy for you. And I'm getting all kinds of, like, echo and feedback. I think
the
connection's just kind of whack now. So I'm going to go ahead and sign off, man. But thank you to all of you guys. Scott, thanks for doing this with me. And, you know, lots of love, dude. I look forward to seeing you in the future, Mayhem.
Yeah, bud. See you soon, man.
All right,
God bless
man.
You. And have a good night.
For sure, man.
See you guys.
Hey, Steve-O, thank you. Thank you, brother.
Yep. Yeah, dude. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, brother.
Happy New Year, Steve.
Happy New Year, Scott. You know, that was kind of crazy. You know, it was a tremendous show. Mayhem, you could tell that you were totally enthralled with Steve-O. What was that aspect?
With
like,
all
Steve-O?
You guys, man. With all you guys. Great show, man. This has been a fantastic show. And thanks a lot, Scott, coming on. Thanks a lot, all you guys, man. Randy, Crazy Stein, Don. It's just, man, this has been fantastic. It's like I didn't think I could be so happy on the first day of the new year.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, I want to kind of turn it around just a little bit and kind of ask you a couple questions before we kind of wrap things up here. You know, being that it is the new year and, we, you know, Randy put this show together, so – thank you, Randy. You know,
having
the opportunity to correlate with Steve-O and kind of share some of your walk, what does it mean for you on this first day of 2020 moving forward, knowing that you got a brother in Steve-O and you guys kind of say, you know, share the same page?
I mean, yeah, that's badass. I mean, you know the answer to that question. It's awesome. It's awesome. Like, that's cool. It's interesting to, like, hear somebody, you know, because he's kind of like a big bro, you know, like MTV kind of alumni kind of guy, where we both lived this crazy ass life because, you know, it was like thrust up on us, you know, like he's the same. He's very similar, like where we are both just doing our thing, having fun with our life. And then you like benefit so much from it, get so much money, so much attention. And it's really hard to deal with it. Like people think that it's so easy and everybody like, you know, likes to, you know, point fingers and Monday morning quarterback. But the reality is, you know, it's very difficult to live a normal life when you're not living a normal life, you know?
Yeah.
You know, for people to judge somebody when they haven't walked in their shoes is really silly. So it was really, man, that was really eye-opening to hear Steve-O talk so candidly about everything and to actually get me opening up about everything so candidly, you know. It's like that was a really positive experience, you know. And I appreciate all you guys for putting it all together, man. It was great. I'm like having an emotional reaction where I might hang up and cry.
Yeah, whatever. You know, it was kind of cool, though, that, you know, our interviewee turned you into the interviewee. You know, that was kind of dope, you know, that turned the show on us and started interviewing you. So that's badass. You know, Mayhem, you've got a lot of things that are coming up for you. You've had a tremendous career, and it's still growing. There's still a lot left for Mayhem Miller to show the world. You know, one thing that intrigues me about you, though, is you're always so stoked, you're always so amped about life now. You know, would you say that having those 3 years taken away from you has truly made you look at life through a looking glass and reinvigorated the man that once was?
Yeah, but I'll say this. I'm really pissed off about the system because about 5-6 years ago is when I really – 5 years ago I started getting in trouble. And instead of the system, like, putting the brakes on me and going, hey, look, it's time to, like, fix stuff because this is broken, instead of that, it became an adversarial system where suddenly I hated the system. I hated those guys for doing what they did to me. And I couldn't look at it outside of myself. I needed help. I didn't need jail. I didn't need prison. I needed a damn doctor to guide me up out of that. I needed a therapist to, like, convince me that the pain that I was feeling was valid and I needed to, like, deal with it in a healthy way instead of, you know, going into drugs and alcohol and, like, you know, disappearing under this, like, fog. That I lived in a fog, I'll tell you that, man. And it really, like, kind of invigorates me to, like, be more political. Like, because I see, you know, it's easy to, like, just say, oh, he's a bad guy. But really, I wasn't a bad guy. I just was lost. And the fact that it's been, you know, it went with years without me being even offered the opportunity to change my life, just more torture inside a jailhouse, you know, that really, like, you know, it makes me like want to change the system. It's like very, it's invigorated me, and I'll do other stuff and entertainment to amass some more influence so that I can actually affect those changes. But right now, as it stands, I'm just really like, you know, I'm gonna vote with my feet. I'm gonna try to do the best I can to change the things as they are right now, because it's broken. What we got right now is broken, and all it's doing is leading young dudes on a bad path and making them worse and making our society worse in general. So I'll jump down off my soapbox and say God bless America.
You know, I feel you there, bro. You know, I was in Sacramento County in California, and I had gotten in a fight, and I was arrested for corporal injury. I pled not guilty, and people don't realize in the state of California, you know, the system is so overbooked that if you don't have money to bail yourself out, then welcome home. I spent 7 months in solitary confinement because I pled not guilty. And, you know, I tell you what, it changes a man. It truly changes a man. And it makes you look deep within who you are. And, you know, it's not a nice place. So I can understand what it does to these 18, 19-year-old kids that are in a facility for some stupid shit, and yet you're locked down, you know, 23 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they don't give you much to do, you know, when you are out. You know, I was excited to see the growth of Mayhem Miller. I was excited to see when you came out, the message you let out to the world. You know, it truly showed change, and I think there's a lot more left to what Mayhem Miller can contribute, not only to the sport, but to life. You know, with that being said, I'm going to pass the mic to Randy real quick, and then Crazy Stein, if they got any questions for you. Brother, the floor is yours, Randy.
Man, I just want to say, Mayhem, I've watched you come a long way. Like, I always knew you had it in you. I kept telling the monkeys, hang on, and I knew you were going to push through it. But the thing is, I think you're going beyond my expectations. You're going beyond the monkeys' expectations. And on behalf of all the monkeys, I just want to say, man, we're super fucking proud of you, bro.
Aw, thanks, bud. I appreciate that, man. Not a question, but thank you very much anyway.
Well, I had to get that off my chest.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Look, and I'll tell you guys, look, with your help, your support, we're going to do, like, a lot of big things this year. So it's, like, really cool that we started off this year with this, like, heartwarming brotherhood conversation, you know. And, you know, it's just it warms the cockles of my heart. So we're gonna do it. We're going to do some big things this year. I appreciate you. I appreciate your support, and I support you guys, whatever the hell you're
always
doing.
Ready.
Yep.
Most definitely. Crazy Stein?
Well, the only question I got is that when you got off all that medication, how did you first feel?
Well, here's the thing is that I felt like shit. But here's the thing is that, like, if you have a problem with those meds, the thing is that now they have, like, treatment recovery places that, like, give you different types of meds to help get you off that. So it's not just a flat crash where you're, you know what I mean, withdrawing with nothing, you know? And for me, I had to do it in a jailhouse. So I was, like, you know, hurt real bad. Everything hurt. It was just a weird, you know, and I had to tough it out and sweat for days and days, and, you know, like, but if you can identify the problem before you get busted for something, you can go to a treatment program and, like, they give you meds to, like, wean you off that stuff so that you don't, you know, you don't have to suffer that much. And I think that's for anybody who you know wants to go off that's the best option. Now, the way America is, you have to have some insurance to do that. So, you know, I would say anybody, you got to get some insurance and then jump into a damn treatment program, because that's the only way, really. Because like just trying to go it alone, I know how it's damn near impossible. You know, so. Yeah, that's my advice, is jump into a treatment program. It's getting popular where, you know, it's getting normalized where we're not demonizing people who got problems with substances anymore. Now we're understanding that it's like a medical condition, you know.
You know, Mayhem, I don't know how open you are to this. The board is still full of callers. Are you open to taking a call, brother?
Next caller!
All right, let's go ahead and do this. So somebody's been on hold for 33 minutes, so we'll go ahead and pick down.
33?
You're live on the air on Monkey Bull Radio. Caller?
You're on with Mayhem.
Well, I guess.
Caller, are you there? Just walked away from the phone, bless his heart.
Well, we'll pick another one. We just hung up on him. This
one's
been on for 29 minutes.
For 33 minutes.
Welcome to Monkey Cole Radio. You got a question for Mayhem Miller?
Monkey Cole Radio, on with Mayhem.
Are you there?
God bless it.
Does anybody want to talk to us?
Oh, somebody's there, bro. Hello?
Oh, my God. She sounds like she's masturbating into the phone. Yeah, I hear you, lady.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, yeah. You want to get a hotel room with me? You want to drink a Diet Coke?
Oh, God. No, they definitely can't talk.
I called masturbating into the phone.
Right. Thank you, Cole.
Thanks for the call. Next call.
Now, hey, no more callers. I apologize. I'm not taking no more callers.
Way to just end the show with a fart.
Right.
Well,
no.
Hey,
well. You know, you're going to be on me. You're going to be on the air with me next week, Mayhem, on January 7th. We have.
I'm going to get into the studio. We're going to jump into the studio here pretty soon too. So. Don't you worry.
All
about
right.
It. We'll get all this settled. We're working the kinks out. We're working the kinks out on the Cult Radio show. That's fine. I think that was a strong start. People can see kind of where we're going with this. Like, Don, I appreciate your effort and hard work. It didn't go swimmingly. But overall, I feel like we hammered some home runs there. So way to go.
Hey, like I said, bro, you got interviewed by the schmo, so you can't hurt my feelings, homie.
Bro, don't judge me, okay? Do what you gotta do. I'm on the comeback trail, okay? I gotta take the interviews where I get them. All right?
Yeah. No, but
if Geraldo Rivera would interview me, I'd take that interview too.
Most definitely. Hey, Mayhem, I'm looking forward to January 7th to my 500th radio episode on the MMA side. You know,
yep.
I truly appreciate you coming on and showing the love. I appreciate what you continue to do in the sport and give back to the people.
God
you're a tremendous man in your wife.
Yeah.
Hey, don't God
Hold
bless the multiverse
show.
On my show, bro.
Damn it, you called me out. You knew I was going to do it. I was about, how can I hang up now when you just called me out on my oldest trick on the book?
Damn. Hey, Jason.
Yes, I ain't riding out on no fucking river dolphin.
Hold on, I do have one question for Jason.
All right, go ahead.
As a rule for the show, did you forget to wear your red panties?
Man, I'm wearing my red panties right now on the outside of my pants.
Shit.
Like Superman.
Oh, now the
like
listeners know.
Oh, man.
Well,
on that note,
well,
Mayhem, I'm going to pass the mic to you.
Yeah, I'll
Mayhem.
Tell you.
Go ahead.
No, I was about to hang up in your face, man. It's about that time.
All right, bro. Well, anything you want to shout out to the Monkey Cole family or any
bro,
of the Mayhem Miller fans?
What do you mean? Every one of y'all. It's not like I got to talk to y'all individually. You guys work as a single cell organism, all independent of each other, willing to work together towards a greater goal. Is Scott still on the line? Scott, I'll be seeing you in Texas or somewhere like that. I have a vision, and we're going to be inside a comedy club, and we're going to be talking about something, and it's going to be funny.
Most definitely. With that being said, I'm your host, Don McGuire, being joined by Jason Mayhem Miller, Randy Marshall, and Crazy Stein. All of you have a good night, and God bless.
God bless the book, sir.
Fucker.
What you know about it? You better not get on my land. My pops is pretty violent. I grew up in them bottoms, somewhere deep off in them hollers. My CO 12 gauge loaded off in the closet by a tall and door seat. Wrong I do, but I was brought up. Door cheat, wrong right through where I went. I crawled to the bone from the heart to the soul with a major job field in the camouflage.